This episode of Lucas, Tigers, and Bronze is brought to you by PWCC. PWCC is currently running an unlimited free vault promo, which is running through July 31st, through the end of the National. The vault is 100% free for all graded cards valued at over $50. There's no ingestion costs, no storage fees, and unlimited submissions. Just enter the promo code VAULT, V-A-U-L-T, when creating your submission to apply the promo.
He doesn't want to get look like a fucking hotel room. Oh, look at you.
You just look amazing.
All right.
Welcome back to Lucas, Tigers, and Bronze. Oh, my. I love the jersey, number one, Cage. It looks good.
Boom, boom, boom.
We're doing things the old-fashioned way. We had like 2 days of vlogging. But here's what you learn about yourself at a show like this.
I'm old.
You're
my
old.
My hips hurt. My hips hurt.
We need like a videographer, like something professional, right? Because we're walking around with like our iPhone vlogging.
Listen, what do you learn at a show like this? It's a good question. It's like, hey, let's talk today. Boom, record.
I didn't want to miss the magic.
I want to give you a download. I wanted to give you some stuff. I guess we'll just talk it all out there in the episode.
I didn't want to miss the magic, Cage.
What have you learned at a show like this? So much. First of all, that you have to remember you're human and there's only so much you can do. We walked around, a couple of days, and there are still so many booths, people that we work with, people that we know that I haven't seen. You know, from the hobby celebrities, we haven't seen Sasha T. Where the heck is he? Is he here? I hope so. Gotta go check that guy out. He's the reason I left with Cash last year, and he'll probably be the reason I leave with Cash this year. So, I love you, Sasha. But
think about it, Cage. Everyone has a different niche in the hobby, right? He's doing pickups. He's a buyer.
Yep.
And we're out here shaking hands and doing videos with the Vespa card, and we wanted to do an awesome night for cigar night. So that takes a lot of energy. We got a chance to talk to SGC, talk about the 9-5 mantle, get to see it in person. So everyone's national experience is different.
Correct. And I love where you go with that. I actually have a couple of fun little topics, but I'll get you there as we go. One, you use buzzwords, I used to say. I kind of almost laugh at it. Like, oh, he's got all these buzzwords, systems and scaling and whatever the hell it is, right? But one word you use, community, building a community, having a community. I think when you come to something like this, you realize that it is not just a buzzword, right? And the hobby is more than just the cardboard with the pictures on it, the memorabilia, the businesses that are scrambling doing their thing. It is a community, right? I mean, how many people did you hug over 2 days? Which is, I mean,
it's a weird way.
You wouldn't think you would do that, but I'm hugging all over the place. It really, people are happy.
We're too touchy. We're too touchy.
No, but I see a lot of million people hugging. Don't get hung up on the hugs. The point is, people are happy to hug out,
Luca Nation. Don't come up to me and expect a hug.
Luis
Zavala, you have had enough hugs for the whole year, brother.
You better hug Luis a lot. He's now 2 for 2 with cigar events. Not many people were at both of my cigar events. We did that Mint Collective cigar night. He was there, and he was at this one too. So he's got a special place. You can hug him all you like. That's not the point. But guys, don't hug Andrew. Come up and kick him in the balls, and I'll enjoy that even more. He doesn't want to get hugged. Just kick him right in the nuts. So no, guys, come on. The point is, people are happy to be here, whether they're buying cards, selling the cards, or they don't get to buy cards, sell cards. They're engaging with people that they've met over the internet, over Instagram, over Facebook groups. That the trade night was all about that. People were meeting each other. People were shaking hands. The cigar night, the same thing. You know, Luca Nation folks. You know, meeting each other. You know, people ask me, "Hey, is this guy here?" You know, and I'm like, "Yeah, I mean, he's over in the corner. Go say hi." You know, I like that. And for the most part, especially at cigar night, and then trade night as well. You know, there are people there who some folks would consider like hobby celebrities, and they're out there rubbing elbows, mingling with everybody else. And I like that part of it. I like the community part of it. I got a chance last night. I'm at the Tropicana. I'm kind of all segregated by myself. I was looking at walking to the National today, and it's a 28-minute walk, 1.2 miles. I could do that as long as I don't really weigh myself down with the backpack with, slabs on slabs on slabs like I've been doing with my, but so I'm thinking about walking over. Anyway, I'm at Tropicana, and I saw Wheelhouse Cards, his team yesterday at the show. Wheelhouse Mike. And, the Wheelhouse, they have the store. They got another grand opening coming in September, the whole deal. And he's like, I'm at Tropicana. I'm like, all right, well, when I get back, you know, send me a message. We'll, you know, we'll see you. I didn't even have to get a message. I walk in and they're like waiting, like they're playing slot machines right in my path. I'm like, hey, what are you doing? I'll be down in 10 minutes. Let's go get a drink. Get a drink, smoke cigars. You know, that's a cool thing. It really is. You know what I mean? You know, get to talk to hobby, get to share stories from the 80s, 90s, you know, to what's going on in the store. You know, you get to learn stuff. You see how other people are navigating their hobby. Shoot.
When we don't talk, it's he's an amazing.
I love it. I like sharing that stuff. I like sharing the stuff with you, with the crew, and more importantly, you know, I woke up this morning and I saw a bunch of messages from our Lucanation OG group, and a lot of people are asking, "Hey, I want to hear some stories from the show." Seriously, that's what I want to hear. What's going on there?
5 minutes in, a few things. If you guys ever want to know Cage's mood, he's gonna wear that right on his sleeve. So right now, his mood is excited. If he's ever quiet, watch out. Watch out. That's a dangerous Cage. So that's number one. Number two, for all you guys that aren't at National, the challenge that we're having is there's no cell service, reception, or Wi-Fi anywhere. So much as we want to make content and go live, we're limited by the constraints. And one of the topics that I was curious to discuss is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because if you think about it, what's interesting about this National compared to last is you can't look up comps. You have to buy on gut. And do you think that that's hindered buying? Do you think that that's helped buying? Do you think that that's helped dealers? Do you think that that's helped the public? I'm curious to get your take on that.
Okay.
There is no service anywhere.
The internet, so a couple of dealers are have to pay for the Wi-Fi and stuff like that. So I guess if you want to have it, you can have it. But I will tell you this. When you have a breaking pavilion where everybody's breaking live and streaming it out to the world, having no internet is probably not a good thing. So I'll just start there. You know, just high level, you'd want to have some good internet when everybody's basically trying to stream out everything that's going on. So that's number one. Number two.
Andrew's frustration in Tulum when his internet goes out, multiplied by thousands of people.
So that's just a starting point. But to the question itself, it's actually a very fun topic because the hobby, it dovetails into something I want to talk about. But so I'll answer your question, right? The hobby, it's almost taking it back to where it was before. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And we're very data reliant, and I think that's a good thing. I think the more data that's out there, the better. The better for buyers, the better for sellers, the better for institutional money to come in and have a confidence that this is something that is a real asset class. Honestly, the more data, the better, right? It less of a chance of people getting hoodwinked and you name it. That said, data sometimes makes deal flow a little more robotic. Go ahead, man. Obviously, you're agreeing with me, so go for it.
Well, because there's a lot of cards when you see it, you'd be like, I would pay this. But then you go to the data and you're like, actually, it was $100 less. It was $65 less, right? Yep. And now you're caught up in this middle ground where it's a beautiful card. The guy who owns it or the girl who owns it, it might be, comps are such an interesting thing. They hang up deals. And now you're stuck between that $450 that you want and the $350 that the buyer wants. And you're like, I don't know.
You know where that
doesn't happen because he's able to make deals with anybody and anyone.
Well, we can talk about my deals in a second and why it might not be the best thing in the world. But before that, just on your comps, I think the best example of it is when there are cards that are not the most liquid thing in the world. Like, you know your cards, you know what sells and whatnot. You could probably tell me, okay, that's $100. You've done it 50 times. Like, I know I like that card, but I just bought the SGC9 in that one for $70. That, you know, there's no way that 9.5 should be $185 or, like you're able to do that just because you know it off the top of your head, which, by the way, is an amazing thing to watch happen. Because there was no way even 6 months ago you were quoting what an SGC9 would sell for, 9.5 of hundreds of cards.
Well, Cage, I started with base. And by the way, I don't know how you're doing on time. Like, I think doing a little bit of a marathon episode would be helpful for our Lucanation because they miss us a ton.
Sure.
Well, when I got into the hobby, I was base, right? And base is silver. It's a parallel. But the reason why I did that was I felt safe where my money was at because I knew what the price was within, a few dollars every time. With other cards like inserts from the 90s and different grades in, a Jordan EX 2000, that like it looks kind of like a what you call it, a heart? I don't even know what to call it.
Yeah.
I'll actually tell you guys in a second what the real name of that is. it's harder to price that out. So being at the forefront on whatnot, selling every single day, and I apologize that we haven't been able to obviously go live and sell. We're doing a huge show today. It's given me a little bit more of a pulse on the market. What sells, what doesn't, what players are in demand. Jeter, always in demand. Griffey, always in demand. Wade, we're about to find out.
Yeah, Wade. So, but the Wade's a good example, and I want to get to Wade in a second because that's a whole other topic. But the best example I can give on the whole no data comps stuff is sometimes we're fearful without the data. The data provides that whoopee. Anybody know the movie? The whoopee. It's a security blanket.
You know, my nickname was Whoopi from like the age of 10 to
16. Yeah, Whoopi. This is Whoopi. So just to not leave people hanging who don't the movie quotes. Now I'm going to talk about the movie quotes in a second too. It's a marathon episode. The Whoopi was the security blanket in the movie Mr. Mom. One of the kids wouldn't give up his little security blanket. He wouldn't give up his little blanket. And he called it a Whoopi. Give me the Whoopi. I'm going to get rid of the Whoopi. Yeah, it was a good time. So data becomes that security blanket for you guys. It does. And myself included, on cards that are not something that I've ever seen or that I know. And this is a perfect example for you about what data does, right? So let's just say, hypothetically, this very handsome man who sort of looks like the Duke Blue Devil right now. You know, with the whole, like, it's continuing to go down here like this. Says, wow, look at that card.
A little gray streak too, right?
I ain't going to make fun of Gray. I'm going to be all Gray very, very soon during season 3 of this podcast here. So let's just say somebody sees a gorgeous Peyton Manning card at a table. You know, we're not sure if it's a rookie. And it turns out it is a rookie, and it's a star date, just like the really good-looking Kobe one. And you look at that card, and the dealer has a $700 price tag on it. And you know, oh, wow, that's a really cool-looking card. Never even seen it. It's a rookie. You know, the Kobe sells for thousands. $700, and I'm relegated to say, I don't know if it's a good price. Like I could see the comps being anywhere between $400 and $1,400. $700 might be a great price, and then we're having a conversation of, well, at least $700 is in the low end of that range. But the last thing I want to do is say, go ahead and negotiate a deal and buy it for $600, and then when we get outside and have internet, you see the last couple sold for $350. And you're like, you know, sorry, man. You know, I didn't know. Like, there's a lot of that too, right? And I mean, does that give you insecurity? There's no way to beat that. I can't know the value of every single card that's been produced for the last 40 years of every insert and subset and grade level and you name it.
You're close.
Well, okay. So did you look up what the comp was on it? Because we could always go back and get the card.
What card?
The star date. I think it was 1998. Manning, the Peyton Manning. Remember that one we looked at?
I was a little hesitant on that card. Sorry, Manning.
It was a gorgeous card, and you're like, the Kobe sells for thousands of dollars on this one, and we walked away from the table because we didn't know whether or not
745. Card, so he had it. Top 156.
So he had a price at 7. Remember, and obviously there's some wiggle room on that. And I said, you know, I could see this being anywhere between, you know, 400 and 1,400. You know, like I wouldn't know. It's a nice looking card.
Guys, this is an acetate card as well. I mean, I got to be honest. I'm surprised by the pop on it. 156 is for a card like this with all of the – I guess it's very difficult to grade as well because, like, all of this glitter in the background. But it's one of my favorite cards I've seen of Manning.
It's a cool-looking card. But, I mean, there goes your data. You know, there goes your stuff. So – I mean, we'll see how it plays out with the you know, the lack of internet. I mean, I don't know whether it's hampering deal flows. I would say the dealers we spoke to, and I mentioned this to our groups last night on IG when they asked about it, and I guess I didn't do a good job of explaining because they, you know, they asked me to kind of explain it better. Was what we're hearing from the dealers is people are selling cards to the dealers, right? We heard that from Black Jaded Wolf. We heard that from several people. I was asking, that's the question I asked. Hey, how's the show going? You know, how's it doing? Well, you know, a lot of people saying it's a great show. A lot of people saying it's crowded. A lot of people saying a lot of foot traffic, a lot of cool, like, high-end stuff. A lot of people talking. But most dealers who will talk to you will say people are coming up to the table, and instead of saying, how much is that, which happens, it's more skewed towards, hey, here's what I have, are you buying? And the dealers are buying a lot is what they're saying. And maybe that's because the dealers know the comps. They don't have to get on their phone. Right. Maybe they're paying the money for the Wi-Fi and they're making the deals. Or, you know, maybe people are, you know, are starting
to get a cage. How much did you come with? How much cash did you come with to the show?
Not much. Not much at all.
Would it surprise you if I came with $40 that I got in like a cash back at CVS before I got here? People don't really love being proactive, going to the ATM, going to the bank, taking out huge wads of cash. So I think the way that people do these shows today is they bring their inventory. They need a liquidation point, mm-hmm. period, and then they're going to start buying.
Correct. I think that's right. Yeah. Well, I think people in the lead up to the national, what's
other cool than MasterCard, who instead of display cases with cards, has display cases with money, and then the cards are propped up on those.
Listen, we have to get him back on because I think people are confused by his model, and you know, I've heard people say loan shark and that kind of stuff. Which, you know, I mean, you don't have to use his stuff. I don't know, you know, I personally would use it as well.
Is a loan shark a bad? Is that like a bad thing?
Well, we will do an episode on it, maybe with him,
like a loan dolphin.
Right, like liquidity.
We're loan baby shark.
Listen, I think when people hear 15 to 19% interest rate, you know, they think that's a lot, but everybody uses credit cards. And, you know, guys, go check what your credit card rate is.
Do you know in the 80s what inflation and mortgage rates were?
No, tell me.
Mortgage rates were 10%.
Yeah, I think they were actually higher than that.
So we live in such an interesting period where like 15% seems like a lot because money was so cheap. But what does that even mean, guys, when money's cheap? It means that the Fed rate, the rate that the Federal Reserve lends to banks, which the banks lend to the retail consumers like us, they got that down to literally zero. It was 0.5. It was 1%. That means you could borrow money at 1%. It was never like that.
Never.
It was like that for 14 years. This is the longest bull market, cheap money market we've ever been in the history of the United States of America.
The Fed just raised their rates, again, 0.75 basis points, and we're now at basically a flat. We're at like a traditional, over the many, many decades, at not restrictive, not eased. And they're talking about potentially during the next, you know, year, raising it again into where we would start to get into, you know, it's actually restrictive territory and, you know, to help stem this inflation. Make it a little tighter, maybe bring cost of products and stuff down a little bit. But I mean, it's all interesting stuff. It really is. Segue.
Invest a card. I want to stay on this.
Yeah, Stu.
It's everyone's decision to go and bring their card there. His marketing's funny. He's a friendly guy. When I didn't want to do the video, he looked at me. He didn't even say a word, right? Because you and him were going to do a video. And then I was like, come on, Andrew. I was like, that's not my thing. I don't. And he didn't say a word, just looked at me like my father's like, I'm going to kill you if you do not do
this.
Get in here. We're going to have some fun. And it was fun. And I was like, why did I like?
That's why he's fun. You know, I mean, I look for people who are having fun in the hobby, man. He's just energy. You know, go ahead.
15% seems like a lot by our last 14 years of standards, but what are we going to say? And we have no partnership, no nothing. What is 15% going to look like when mortgages are 10, 11, 12, 13, 14%, which they're going to get to? So, and now you're getting 15% on a Jordan card, you know?
And guys, listen, we are not in any way affiliated with InvestaCard, CardFi. We had him on the show and, you know, it's impossible to miss him. Right at the stuff, so we saw him. He sold the card to Andrew. Very, very nice deal that Andrew made. So we went and picked up the card. There's no sponsorship. There's no nothing. Right? I mean, it's just something to talk about because it's another cool little bolt on to the hobby. It's a business that he's come up with that does provide cash for people if they need cash to make deals or you know anything like that. So I mean, it's definitely just interesting to talk about. Segway, real
DC does that too.
Yeah. And also, obviously, he has a good idea because there are other companies that are just sprouting up and are set up at National to give card cash loans. This is what happens. And by the way, forget about, you know, a card five for a second. Just that is what happens. If we're really saying we're going to be an asset class, right? We're an asset class. Well, guess what? People can borrow money against their homes. It's called taking out a mortgage. You know, it's an asset, it's got a valuation, and because it has a value, you're able to borrow money against it. The same thing with other assets. You can take loan out and use other assets as collateral for that loan.
I wish cards could cash flow.
I wish that too. So does Buster. It's a lot of fun stuff. But listen, it's a cool next step in the progression of the hobby cards, memorabilia as asset classes. That you there's a value on them, that they're steady enough value that people can actually loan money against them. That's a cool thing. One quick one. I love doing the daily episodes, and I love doing my movie quotes. I know that both of them at times get to Andrew, but I got a voice memo this morning message I woke up to from Dan Nothi, you know, our DMN takeover from our original group. Love that guy. You know, we had him on, right? And, you know, talk about like Christian rock and craziness and you no, name
at
it.
At this point, we've literally had everybody on.
Which is, well, that's not true. We also get a lot of people say, hey, have me on. So, we, you know, the hobby keeps growing. And there's no shortage of people to have on. But the point with Dan is he doesn't watch a lot of movies. So, you know, he's not a movie watcher. But he says, I try to watch movies here and there. And he says, we must be on the same wavelength, Cage, because he says, last night I happened to decide, I'm going to watch Coming to America for the first time in my life. He's never watched it. He says, I watched Coming to America for the first time ever. And then I listened to your episode this morning, and boom, you're quoting Coming to America. And I wouldn't have got that quote. Randy Watson, I wouldn't have got that quote if I didn't just happen to decide to watch Coming to America the night before. And I'm like, all right, so the stars are aligned for Luka Nation. So with that as a little like buffer intermission story, I want to give you a topic because I think you are in a unique spot to talk about it. The National is great. It is a meeting place. It is a place for businesses to come and show off. It's a place where Ken Golden can set up what he has for auction next week, 50 feet away from what PWCC has for auction next month, 50 feet away from what Heritage has with Stick Your Face in the SGC 9.5 Mantle, which, by the way, I saw for the first time yesterday, and it is a gorgeous card, perfectly centered, real nice card. I want to take a picture of it and post it for you guys because it is, just a gorgeous, gorgeous mantle. Nicer than many, many cards that I've seen. And I will say this, in person it looks nicer than 10s that I've seen. Yes, I will say that. So I know that sounds silly, but you see that card in person, it's like an awe-inspiring moment to see that kind of card. I have one.
And he never finishes the question he's going to ask me.
So – here's a question.
Question in 47 parts.
27. Get it right. It's only 27. I only have one question in 27 parts, Dr. Philip Barbet. So the National is a cool place for that show-off stuff. It's a cool place for people to meet. It's a lot of dinners. It's a lot of shake hands. It's a lot of, hey, guys, the hobby comes together. We're all in a great spot. We're all doing great. Here's what my business does. Okay? There are also trade nights and deals going on. But I have – what I'm going to say is a hypothesis. I don't think, and I want to know whether you agree. There's my question. My hypothesis is I don't think that the National trade nights, you name it, is the easiest place for liquidity anymore. And I think while it used to be a great place to go and buy and sell maybe a decade ago, you name it, the tech that has come into the hobby over the last couple of years has made it easier to have that deal flow than it is at this centralized location. And I'm specifically talking about if you happen to be holding a Dwayne Wade card and walking around with it at a show saying, what do you think? 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 And everybody's kind of like, nah, nah. And do you leave and say, well, I'm just going to go on Whatnot and I'm going to sell the damn thing. So talk to me about that, because I was thinking about that this morning, and then you sent me a message and said, I'm going to do a killer show today on Whatnot. And I thought to myself, I got to ask Andrew, is that because you walk around a trade night, which is amazingly packed, but there are kids on the floor, there are kids at tables, and everybody's kind of sitting over their stacks of cards. They put them out on display. I didn't see a lot of transactions going on. I didn't see a lot of people buying, selling. I saw a lot of people talking and stuff, which was a cool hangout, but I didn't actually see the cards being moved around from one person to another.
He's is that because this co-host, he could ask a question, 6 minutes goes by, he's taking a sip. This is why you
introduce 2 liter.
This is why you introduced the patented, I'm going to go on mute. That wasn't an attack on Andrew, the mute. It was like, hey, the only way I can stop is if I hit that mute button.
Pretty much. But what I did was I asked you a question and gave you the answer. So
have you ever heard of Cage analysis by paralysis? I think that's what happens. I think when you have so many different cards, And it's not like we had this impression that like everyone be carrying around Zion Prism bases everywhere, but that's not the reality. There's a lot of beautiful cards. This is one of the most ancient industries in that there's cards from 78 we saw.
You saw one 1876 yesterday.
Yeah. 2022. There are so many different cool cards. And what happens is in front of me yesterday, someone offered the titanium metal, the acetate Kobe card, 97. And then red, what was it? It's called like the exceptional, the oval one. Is that what it's called?
Yep. Yep.
And the kid offered a fair deal. Like I'm watching this play out. Like I'm a bird's eye view right behind the guy. And he offered a fair deal below comps, like 20% below. And the guy was paralyzed by looking at comps and he wanted to pull the trigger, but he didn't at the end. At the end, I traded for the red as exceptional. But the point is, I think there's this analysis by paralysis. There's this subconscious thought going, if I trade or buy with this guy, I cannot do something that may be potentially later on. It's a little bit like our relationship and dating scene in the world right now. It's that swipe. And it's like, and I think a lot of our Luka Nation will understand this. It's like, if I date her, maybe I can't have better.
Okay. I think also
if I buy this card, maybe I can't have something better later. Well, and it's paralyzing.
I like your swipe left, swipe right, bumbly, tindery, grindery thing. Oh, I got to include that for you. So the
you think so?
I think
after the action and that I've been getting.
No. Exactly. Okay, you don't need that. Yeah. I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. No, we can take that off the table now. Actually, you're a stud. No, so I think
I'm not a stud, but I think I'm charismatic and I like people and I'm funny. I just complimented myself three times.
I'll give you all that. No problem. You're at Joe Frazier.
I'm a blue devil.
So you are. No, so I guess also a lot of it is, I think people are fearful. So I love the analysis paralysis. That was one of my dad's sayings. It's pretty funny, right? And but I think also a lot of it is fearful because you know what's funny? I did see some deals go on at the table. I saw some people buy from dealers. I saw some people sell to dealers. And you have cash on the table and you have the card. And every time I saw a deal like that happen, do you know how the deal ended? Either the person on the buying side outside or the dealer said, hey, let me take a picture. Boom, snap a picture of it. Let me take a picture of the deal. Now, it's very plausible that the picture of the deal is just for record keeping. Maybe that's their receipt. Maybe that's what they're going to show the IRS. Here's the transaction. I paid cash. Well, because, you know, cash, there's no receipt. Possible. But I think in today's day and age, when a trade like that happens, the photo is to put up on the gram. I'm going to put it up on the line. My idea is totally different. It's exchange gram. I'll put it on the line, right? You put it out there, right? And then what happens is people weigh in. And people say, wait, which side of that deal you got? You got robbed. Or, oh, man, that was a great. And I think there's some of the analysis paralysis too. Not just your own analysis. It's that, wow, when I do this deal, like when I put this out there, because that's my content now, right? Everybody's looking to make a deal and then throw it out there. Here's what I got. What do you guys think? They're fearful. Maybe I shouldn't have done that deal. People are going to slam me on. It's a little weird where we're living now, right?
So I've been with you at a few shows, Hofstra Show, National, and National. I think – so I always think about scarcity and abundance mindset, and I think we've seen this. We know people, you know, and honestly, I think I live out of scarcity a lot, and I have to catch myself because – and it comes from when you grow up poor, you always are more scared of going back to being broke than you actually are pulled by being wealthy, and that's a whole mindset thing. I think one of your best qualities is I don't think I've ever seen you fearful in a deal. And I think it's it almost takes your handcuffs off.
Of course.
It's a very difficult thing to explain in like a podcast form, but it's one of those things when you just watch it over and over, you're like, oh, this is how you become successful. Because yeah, sometimes, you know, you might be explain that feeling? You're never worried in a deal. You're like, yeah.
Well, because
you know your entry.
I know. So part of it is something that you can't teach, right? Because I know my entry. You're making money on your entry, 100%, right? So what I'm doing with my deals and just, you know, the cash just keeps coming in. It's not something you could do if you came in 6 months ago. right? Remember what I've paid for the cards that I'm dealing. So I know what I'm into them for. It makes it a lot easier for me to make a deal that leaves a little meat on the bone for the person who's buying from me, right? So if I'm selling hypothetically to Jacob from Bleeker a Derek Jeter Topps Gold PSA 10, that the most recent comps are 2100, 2800, 2700, 2100, right? And I could say to him, I know that his recent sales are 2800, his recent sales are 21. Let's use the 21 for you and let me take off 20 or 40% off of that. Why can I do that and give someone a valuation of, say, 1650 on that card in cash when the recent comps are 21, 28? Because I paid $500 for it, right? So I'm okay. I'm making my money. I'm not fearful. I can still get 70%, 80% of recent comps on it and still make a ton on that. And that's – so it's easy for me to make those deals, right? And I know especially – so two things. Number one, I know in the deal going in that who you're dealing with. If I'm dealing with an end user, someone who's a huge Jeter fan, they got the Yankee jersey on, you name it, I can give them a card for $5, $10, $20, $50 off of comps, and they're happy because that's the cheapest they're going to be able to get it for.
Like,
right?
A collector, right?
Someone who's going to take it home and say, I was able to get this and save $100 off of what I would have had to pay at the show or a dealer. Or
I'll tell you my deal right after you finish with this, because that's exactly right. I had that epiphany when I was driving home. So I did a deal with Rodman. Very, very basic. It was just two Player of the Century PSA 10 Jordan cards. Mm-hmm. Rodman loves Jordan. Right. And I imagine maybe there's something about, like, he lives in Honduras as well. So, and he was like, how much do you want for these? I said, 300 for both. I think I bought them off PWCC for like 250, 225, something like that. I was like, yeah. And but he's the end consumer, right? It made life easy. He got it here. Both are beautiful PSA 10 Jordans. But when you do deals with flippers or investors or dealers, it's a different thing because that's not the end user.
You have to know what they're planning to do with the cards. They're looking at you as a wholesaler, right? I'm the wholesaler. I'm somebody who got it cheap and is willing to make a profit and understands that they are going to also need to make a profit on it. So I have to put my price point at something that allows – I'm not going to every show like a Jacob does, right? These dealers, they have the ability to hold on to a piece if they don't move that Derek Jeter for $2,300 or $2,500 at this show – or 2200 or 2000. You know what I mean? He could still sell it under comps because I'm selling it even under comps, right? But he doesn't have to sell it here. Maybe he holds it, goes back to New York with it, and sells it in the store, right? Or maybe he sells
the
it.
Inventory. He can't have empty cases. And it's not just inventory and slabs. He needs to touch all the bases. He needs a Jeter card in his collection in case a Jeter fan walks in the store.
Yep.
He needs Griffin. He needs to have that inventory. He doesn't want to be like, no, I don't have any Jeter.
Well, think about the deal, right? I gave him two Jeters, a Juan Soto rookie. That was a PSA 10 that is there's one of. It's a pop one and a Tom Brady gold. I mean, he's buying the right stuff, right? And to circle it back, now I don't need cash at the show. I didn't need to bring cash. I brought those cards. I know I can turn them into cash, right? So, I mean, that's the fun part of it. But back to the whatnot stuff, just real quick, right? Because I'm talking about liquidity. I walked around that show with you, and I was thinking it. So I was waiting for it. Because every table you went to, you show a card, and it is a sick card. And you show other cards. It's like, nah, 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 nah. That's a trade night. Nah, 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 nah. I don't want that trade night. Nah, nah, nah. I'm only selling. Okay. All right, cool. Does it get to a point where the people who have those cards, and some of them are good cards, right? Some of them are really good cards, where the cards are like, hey, there's no
grade. Hall of Famer with a really cool picture is how we define a good card.
So that's one. Right? Good. Or Tim Duncan card or rare cards, gold cards, cards that don't have comps that dealers and kids and people at trade nights don't want to go out on a limb on because they can't find a card ladder data point to tell them what they should or shouldn't be paying.
Right.
Does it get to a point, though, where the liquidity is not at a big show like this? It's let me get on Whatnot or let me get on you know, I mean, let's use Whatnot. And here you go. I'm listening.
That's what they do. Think about that. Whatnot is instant liquidity. Yeah. Any other place you go, and we're sponsored by PWCC, and I love PWCC. It still takes time to get your money out. Whatnot, and whatever you want to think about it, it's your choice. You could, anyone basically over 18 can create a seller account, go through the interview, be approved, run cards, and 2-3 days later, you have the money.
I think with PWCC, when the Raw stuff starts going, it's going to be interesting also, because I think that people are going to start looking there more for lower end stuff, and I think they're going to, you know, be a little bit better with it. But I know this is what I'm talking about with whatnot, and I'm going to go one step further, right? The cards that don't have comps, that's where they go, right?
Yeah.
That's where you're going to have to go with it, right? Because, you know, people are they're fearful. They don't know what to – how much is that? Wait, do you have any data on that at all? You don't have anything on it? Whether it's Dwayne Wade or anyone else, right?
Well, let's talk about those, like, because it's your frame. I think framing and perspective is very interesting. So the Dwayne Wade card, I don't think people would have bought it for more than $300-$400 yesterday, no, right?
Definitely not.
People probably wanted like for 200. The two Jordans, Pop 6, Pop 7, Player of the Century, beautiful cards. And then you have a Joe Burrow Prism Base PSA 10. People would feel more secure buying that Burrow Prism PSA 10, which is not even in the same caliber as a Hall of Famer Dwayne Wade Gold Pop 1 PSA 10 or the two Jordans. But it sells for more, not because it's a better card, because the buyer has more security of, I could get my money out at any time, whereas I might not know what these are worth. It's a very interesting frame of reference. A Burrow base prism. There's infinity Burrow cards.
Yeah, but people are comfortable with it because you have that data security blanket. And I'm going to go one step further. I was thinking this as we walked around and whatnot with you, and you're showing your card off. Now, you have the thickest skin of anybody I've ever met, I think. And maybe it's pretend thick skin. Maybe you could take the jabs, right? You're a Frazier. I have no idea, but nothing phases you. If I were walking around with a card like that, being rebuffed table after table after table, I would take my ball and go home. I would put the Dwayne Wade in the card box. I would go home. I would go on whatnot, and I would sell it. And I would go to sleep laughing at everybody saying, no one wanted it, but look, I just got liquidity. You guys could have sold it too. You could have taken this card in a trade for something else that you have in your collection that you've been sitting there for whatever, and then you could have sold it, blah, 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 ha, ha. Does that get to a point where enough kids, enough of the youngsters that we're bringing into the, you know, the hobby for shows, they're not leaving the hobby. I'm not going there. But the national trade nights in person doesn't become a draw, because now tie it all together. If what we're hearing from the dealers are kids are coming to the table to sell stuff, and the dealers are cherry picking the best stuff to buy from them, but then 80% of the stuff they have, they go to a trade night with, and they get rebuffed the same way you were getting rebuffed, right? And they're done hanging out. They're just going to go straight to PWCC, whatnot, move wherever the hell they go, and they're just going to buy their cards and sell their cards without coming to the show and being told no.
Here's what's going to happen. There's a lot of influencers, right? But dude, there's no one else like me, and that's just facts. And I'll explain what I mean.
Thank the Lord for that.
No, think about this, dude. we're a soft talking culture, and this whole rebuffing thing. Cage, I tried out for the team. Montgomery was the best team in the area.
Maybe
Tom Radvini's brother's listening. He was there. We couldn't meet up, but shout out to you, JR. I didn't make the tryouts 4 times. This is the team you needed to make to go play in college, because they were seen at more showcases than the local team here. From 13 to 15, I tried out 4 times, fall, spring, and I didn't make it. I don't do well at tryouts. I'm a different type of player. Like, I'm not showing. You come back. You just keep chipping away. Cage, I sold 100K of wine for Gary V. Okay. 100K in 6 months. In 6 months, 100K of Empathy Wine. That business got bought out for millions and millions of dollars. I didn't get a penny for it, right? I walked up to the show.
But your DNA was in it.
I walked up to the show. They don't even recognize me. I brought a championship back to Vayner FC. They never won. Came there. We won a championship. They didn't even recognize me. They don't even acknowledge me. They say, I'm going to try to make your cigar night. They're not trying. They're scheduling a dinner at the same exact time. But why would that? I don't understand why that kind of shit dissuades us in today's society. Dude, no one's going to like roll out the red carpet for you. You got to go and get yours. And I think what we're building in our community, slowly, word of mouth, more shows, people meet us, they see what we're about is, dude, we're the kindest guys in the world. We're very generous. We'll do anything for our community.
And modest.
No. But we also don't take no for an answer. We keep chipping away. this whole thing that, like, because something doesn't go your way or you don't have success on the first time, you should give up or you should take your ball and go home. That's not what America was founded on. And maybe things were a little too good for too long. I also don't love our current role models. I think we're going to do better. I think we need to be a little bit more okay with shit doesn't go away when we come back.
So we have some crappy role models. Can we talk about – I'll give you a list of a couple that I some think great role models to hang out with. Yes. So let's do that.
I want to be that role model for people.
So you're definitely obviously one of them, and I can't wait to see your Whatnot show today. Everybody, you know, if you listen into this, you know, he's got Whatnot shows every day of the week basically. So tune in.
If you missed out, like Drake would say.
Listen, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll put it up early. Who knows? But you might be on tomorrow. You might be on next week. People, you know, check usually the 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern time slot. Adam Lefko, hobby celebrity, awesome guy in person. Doesn't have to be. You know?
I'm surprised he's out and about as much as he is.
I mean, isn't he an awesome dude? Yeah. I mean, and he lets me make fun of him a little bit. And then he makes fun of me back. He called me the 40-year-old virgin because I made fun of his Crocs. Meanwhile, my daughter told me I'm the idiot because Crocs are really cool now. And those particular Crocs I probably couldn't afford.
When did that happen? Because I don't remember when Crocs came out. Like, that was like if you're a bully, you're like, got one more right there.
Yeah, but now
that's now the bully for Crocs.
Yeah, pretty much. No, but come on, talk about accessible, funny, you know, will just hang with you, you know, and is not too cool for school. And I'm sure he's in the room where it happens, right? I'm sure he is invited to all these stuff that you and I will not be invited to until we kick the door in. But he's cool, man.
I thought about that, by the way.
Yep.
Those rooms are not personality driven. Those rooms are what can you do for me driven. They're money driven. Those rooms are those are conversion rooms, you know? Do you have something for me that we could convert on right now? It's not shaking hands. It's like, all right, I got money. All right, Andreessen, 40 million for B-Friends. Cool.
All right. How about some more? Dave Marino. Now, people don't know him. He's not like one of these faces that's out there, you know, the whole nine yards. That is the engine that is keeping the shit going. We need more people like Marino, the guy behind the guy, you know? Everybody knows Ezra Collectible, and he's awesome. And, you know, I love what they're doing. Marino, I mean, I'm going to thank him every single episode for the foreseeable future.
Awesome events, right?
Yeah, I mean.
You know what's funny about Marino is you wouldn't expect it. I got to be honest.
It's Mint Collective was that dude's brainchild and his sweat and blood and tears, I'm sure.
He planned it twice. He planned it for January. It had to get postponed because of COVID. But, dude, like, you meet Marino, you're like, how does this guy do what he does?
It's just no sleep. No sleep.
Is he the Ari Gold of the hobby?
He might be. He might be Ari Gold. I think we might be really, really gassing him up now. So I don't know. We got to stop. But I mean, you know, Cigar Night couldn't happen without that guy. So, you know, I'm going to give him all the praise he is due. And I'll have a hard time doing it. Who else, man? Let's talk about other folks. Talk about other folks. Give me a couple role models in the hobby who are doing it right. How about Black Jaded Wolf?
I think women of the hobby is you remember how we did our podcast year one? We're like still just trying to like find product market fit. Mm-hmm. Year two, you start kind of like, I see what I'm doing here. I think I like what they're doing. I like what they're doing, and I like that they now have a lot more confidence. Confidence and not in themselves. They always knew that they were good at what they do. Confidence in that. They could do this. They could win. They could chip away. They could grow that 5% of women. You know how it's our listeners are 95% men, 5% women. They're like, that shit's going to be 20%, 80. That shit's going to be 25, 75. And I think what I'm feeling from the conversations is like, you know, like how Conor McGregor walks a little after mm-hmm. he won. I'm like, pretty much.
Yeah, they did a break with card porn yesterday live. You know, I think 86 Fleer and maybe like a metal box or like PMG potential, right? I think they did that. And although I didn't make the list, I may just crash the party. I think they're doing an event tonight with Tops, Women of the Hobby, you know, with Mark Zablo and that crew. So I'll see if I find him and finagle myself an invite. And I could bring some cigars for the Women of the Hobby. Let's go. I got extras.
I don't think you understand your demo, bro.
I don't think it matters. Everybody comes together over cigars. Doesn't matter who it is.
Okay.
I'm not going to change that. Let's go. What else, man? What else? Because I think we've touched on a lot of cool stuff, and I hope we've given in 45 minutes a little bit of a flavor of what we're feeling at the National. I don't know whether or not you guys would feel the same. It leaps forward from where it was. And you hear that from everybody, and I love hearing that. You know, the backyard breaks. You want to talk about those guys for 5 minutes and what we saw over there? I mean, just basically.
The breakers are a different breed. They know their role. They step into it. So I know breakers are a win-lose. Like, at the end of the day, someone has to lose for someone to win in that space. Like, when you're opening packs, not everyone could win. Like, it's just the reality of it. But I think there is a space for being the most generous breaker. So, like, taking the profits, the fruits of their labor, and being able to find ways to give back. And, I mean, that's what they're doing. They're the party of the hobby. They get people hyped up. They get people excited. The kids love them. And they were just doing giveaways and, like, throwing stuff out. It looked like a mosh pit at, like, a Nirvana concert.
Yeah, it was nuts. It was nuts. And it was loud. Probably loud on purpose because, you know, what attracts the crowd.
Who wants this $4.60 pack? Who wants – oh.
And what's the best way to attract a crowd, Andrew?
Nothing draws a crowd like a crowd.
Boom. So you get people yelling, you get a crowd. That's it. You keep the crowds coming, right? Get some people going. So, I mean, I love it. I would tell you one other thing, and maybe we can wrap on it. I'm going to go back to Wheelhouse, who I got to hang out with last night. I'm sure I'm not the only ones doing this, but it was something.
I was talking a lot about rips the other day. I was like, I wonder if that kid's still having fun.
That's a good question. We should have him on and ask him after the National. See whether or not he's still having fun. See if he's still hanging out with Trey. I just got a text message. So I gotta take a look. It's probably not a good thing. So anyway,
he was a card collector, Giannis guy. Now he's selling NFTs, and I wonder how much enjoyment the kid's getting. I want to make sure that's still priority. Because, you know, we ask people, are you having fun, right? I actually think that's one of the most interesting questions you could go at these shows and ask people, because it catches them actually off guard. I don't know if you know, I asked a few people, and you could tell the people that are like, what do you mean? And they're like, yeah, of course. But then there's the people that are like, yeah, I'm having fun, like the Jaded Wolf table. And I want to make sure, because you've reminded me of that as well.
Cool.
Cool.
All right, man.
That's it?
Yeah, 45 minutes. I want to get to the show.
Oh, you want to go to the show right now? You got a text about going to the show?
No.
Thank you for spending some time with us on another episode of the Lucas Tigers and Bronze Oh My podcast. Do us a favor and like, subscribe. Now, you know what? Don't just like and subscribe. Everybody does that. If you like us, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your enemies, tell everybody. And we hope you got something from spending some time with us today, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.